Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're excited as we are ready to begin our Bible study. And as such, we often do that with song, scripture, and prayer. So would you please join us now for devotion? We'll have a song by the Hillsong. God is an awesome God. We'll have a prayer scripture from Dr. James Nooks. And Dr. Susie, will lead the prayer.
Yeah.
Amen. I have a little technical difficulty here tonight. Couldn't quite get the song to play clearly, but we're able to understand that our God is an awesome God and that He reigns. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture lesson tonight, and there'll be many scriptures that we'll talk about, is James 4, 1 through 17. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans. All such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. God has a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of this word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we come before you and we give you honor, glory, and praise. And we thank you for the opportunity just to come and sit at your feet. And Lord, as we come, we ask that as we open the scriptures, the Lord, you would give us insight, that you would help us to see with spiritual eyes the things that we're to learn tonight, that we have looked at and examined a spiritual relationship with you, and now, Lord, we're trying to understand who you are. And as we do that, Lord, we have looked at the names by which you've been called. We have looked at the identity of the Trinity, and tonight, Lord, we're coming to look at the knowledge that how and who we are is our understanding of you is going to be limited. And help us to take the scriptures that Dr. Nooks is going to give us and to parse those and to get clarity about who you are so that we can walk with you closer, we can talk with you more, we can understand and know how we can expect you to to respond and to teach us and to walk with us and to be with us. And that way, we the more we know, the more we know what to say and how to ask and how to be. And so as we go through this Bible study, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the teacher of the hour, Dr. James Nooks. And we're just asking that you empower him to give him the right tools of and the right words to say that will bring understanding to our hearts. We ask these blessings now. In your son, we pray. Let's all say, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, here we are this week, and we're so excited about the work that we have to do this week. We have 2 weeks left in the month, two Tuesdays left in the month of February, and we're going to continue with our understanding of understanding who God is. Who is God? That's the question that Dr. Nooks has given to us as a
Dr. Susie, you went on mute. Dr. Susie, we can't hear you. Hello, Dr. Susie. Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Couldn't hear you.
Okay.
Okay. Our Bible study tonight is going to be from the topic, our understanding of God is limited. And we've been talking about who God is, and we like to understand that human knowledge is not the same thing as spiritual knowledge. And when we know God, and I think a corollary to this would be our understanding of God is limited, but I want to understand God better. And that's what we're trying to focus on, the fact that we want to understand God better. So we want to understand who God is. And so in order to do that, we have to look beyond our understanding and look at what God's Spirit and God's Word is telling us who God is, and also to help us to understand how we should live as people of God. So as our understanding is increased, then our lives should be changed.
Amen.
To get started, I'd just like to know, who do we have on the line? Besides Dr. Susie and myself tonight.
Eric.
Hello, Eric.
How are you?
All right, good. So understanding of God and understanding of ourselves, I think, is very important. I don't know about you all, but as I understand God better, and as I grow in my understanding of God better, it helps me to see myself better. I think we as people are pretty egocentric, and we think in a narrow vein. But when we allow the knowledge of God to get in our lives, and we begin to see things as God sees things, then our understanding of ourselves and each other and what God wants us to do opens up. So I just want to ask a general question, and then I want to get into scripture. Do we as people understand God? Do we as people understand God?
This is Eric. I would say Most times we don't. And the reason I say that is, as I looked at some of your questions, if we did, we would act a different way and we would do different, we would do things in a different manner. And what I'd like to, if given this thought over the years, we mostly see God and read our scripture as a God who is a punisher, a retribution. And that's really not the core of God's being. And I don't think we understand that. I think we missed the part of God really is of love and of forgiveness and of compassion and one of wanting to have a relationship with mankind. But we don't generally see that when we read the scriptures and rightly divide it. So, and Dr. Nooks, I think one of the other things, and Dr. Susie, and you know, chime in, right or wrong or indifferent, but I don't think we can understand God because half the time we don't even know ourselves.
Amen. Amen. And I would agree with that. And I don't know about you, Dr. Susie, but as I learn more about God, I begin to learn more about myself. When I pray and when God reveals God's self to me, then I can understand what it is to love. Without knowing God, I think I would have a hard time understanding what love is. I would look at love as something that's pretty selfish and pretty. I wouldn't be able to love my enemies. I don't know about you, but I know I couldn't do that without understanding God and understanding God and myself a little better. So I ask you that question, I guess also, Dr. Susie. Do we really understand God?
And this is Dr. Susie, and I totally agree with Brother Eric, is that we have limited understanding, period. And because we struggle to get to know ourselves, and I think sin in the world has made it so difficult. And when we run across an understanding, even a small understanding that God offers something different, then when we begin the journey of understanding who God is, then we begin to understand and reflect and we have something to compare to. I think, as you said earlier, we're kind of egocentric, and the more our relationship with God grows, the more we're able to reflect and to compare, well, you know, and to question. You know, before, why would we question when everything is about us? Even when we look at history, we thought that everything in the world centered around us as humans. And so that's the premise that we come from. So when we grow from that, as we begin to expand our understanding and knowledge of the world and things that are out there, we are able to realize that who we are is small in comparison to the greatness of the rest of the world. And as we are a finite creatures, we're able to ask the questions as we begin to know more about God. You know, the questions of who are we? How do we fit into the process of things? How do we fit in the creation scheme with God, our relationship with God? What does that mean? And, you know, how we act? You know, that's where
Amen.
Love and injustice and all those things come into play.
Amen. Amen. And I invite you to, I want to look at two texts to kind of get started. And Dr. Susie or Eric, could you, one of you, look up 1 Corinthians 8, 4 through 6. And then I also need to look at
James.
2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18.
Do you have 1 Corinthians 3?
Yeah.
And the second one, 2 Corinthians, what is the document?
3:14-18.
And that's 1 Corinthians 8:4-6?
Yes.
Well, 1 Corinthians 8:4-6 reads, New Living Translation. So now what about it? Should we eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god, and that there is only one god and no other. According to some people, there are many so-called gods and many lords, both in heaven and on earth. But we know that there is only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we exist from him, and there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life.
Amen.
So there are those who think that there are many gods and many lords, and the scripture tells us, yeah.
Back up and read 1 through 3, because I left off a part that's very important.
Okay. I'll just read it all then, Dr. Nook.
Okay.
Let's talk about food that has been sacrificed to idols. You think that everyone should agree with your perfect knowledge. While knowledge may make you feel important, it is love that really builds up the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers don't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one God knows and cares for. So now, what about it? Should we eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is really not, we all know that an idol is not really a god, and that there is only one God and no other. According to some people, there are many so-called gods and many lords, both in heaven and on earth. But we know that there is only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we exist from him. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life.
Amen.
So just because you know everything don't mean that you really know everything. Because according to scripture, if you think you know everything, you really don't know much at all.
Amen.
And it's not
do
about...
Do you mind if I read it from the message?
No. That probably would be good.
It says, the question keeps coming up regarding meat that's been offered up to an idol. Should you attend meals for such meat is served or not? We sometimes tend to think we know all we need to know to answer these kinds of questions, but sometimes our humble hearts can help us more than our proud minds. We never really know enough until we recognize that God alone knows it all. I think that's key.
My Lord.
Right there.
My Lord.
We never really know enough. Brother Eric, did you hear that? Until we recognize that God alone knows it all. Some people say quite right that idols have no actual existence, that there's nothing to them. There is no God other than our one God, that no matter how many of these so-called gods are named in worship, they still don't add up to anything but a tall story. They say, again, quite right that there's only one God, the Father, that everything comes from him and that he wants us to live for him. And they also say there is only one master, Jesus, the Messiah, and that everything else is for his sake, including us. Yes, it's true. So, as I listen to that, I'm in total agreement of what Brother Eric was saying, and that one text just jumped out all over my head when it said clearly that, you know, only God knows it all. And I think we walk around as if we have the answers to everything. I look at people and they'll say, well, this is the answer to this. I'm like, and what gives you the right to think that that's the answer? That's your perspective. And that is, we're a country that's come together, and I'm really upset these days about how we understand love and how guns and money and other things are more important than the lives of our children.
Yes.
Who creates this false knowledge? You know, we don't know it all, but that's why the Bible tells us to come and reason together. And our governing should be because of what the group wants, not particular people.
Well, that's absolutely, without a doubt, the truth of the matter. But okay, so let me jump in here and jump out, because I'm just going to say it. When you have political leaders, not just nationally, but locally, who are feeding the masses a bunch of lies and falsehoods just so that they can be in power.
Yes.
Come on.
That wasn't the basis of how government got started. Government got started because there were things that needed to be done, and God wanted people who had hearts for him who would do the right thing and make the right decisions and consult him when they ran into issues, because he knew it all. He knew what was going to happen in the future. God knows what's going to happen, what thoughts are going to be done, what actions are going to be taken, and he wanted people to convey him. And so now we got people who say, well, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that. But yet everything they do is contrary to what we understand what a Christian should be. They're using the name, but they're not following it. And so now we're all screwed up.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And our children are the only ones that says, this doctor says it seems like our children are the only ones who are willing to stand up and say, you know, I've had enough. Enough is enough. I'm willing to, you know, I don't have a right to vote, but I have a voice. And so, you know, we need to stand out and use our voices and not be afraid. And I know we can get hurt. And I know, you know, but the Bible says, don't worry about that which can destroy your body, but be concerned about that which can destroy your soul.
Absolutely. Amen. This is Eric. Absolutely. And we need to stand, and you know, most folks who listen to us and don't participate may not know this, but we need to stand for justice, as I've seen Dr. Susie do, and catch hell for doing it.
Well.
Amen.
Amen.
But if we are Christians and followers of Christ, and we know that God knows all, and we don't understand why we got to catch hell just for standing up for justice and what we know is right, but God expects that of us if we are truly understanding who God is.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what this is about, this lesson is about. It's understanding who God is. And God wants us to understand God better. And that's what I said, the corollary to our understanding of God is limited, but I want to understand God better, because that is what really changes us and causes us to reflect who God is. And knowledge puffs people up, and people get caught up, and it's great to have a great mind. It's great to have knowledge. But if you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to God. To have
facts. That's what Paul told us.
Yeah. And I'm afraid sometimes we miss the message of God in our lives. And that's what God is wanting us to. When we see that people are acting crazy and we're acting crazy, God wants us to say, do you understand who I am? And how you ought to be acting as my child. we ought to just take pause sometimes and try to understand that when it seems like all hell is breaking loose, not only in the government, but in our own lives.
Amen.
We ought to take pause and say, what does my understanding of God teach me in this situation? In this situation, what would God have me to do? And my brothers and sisters, I really think that would have a great effect on our life. It has had a great effect on my life. And I know I'm growing, but as I understand God better, I begin to understand myself better and where I ought to be in God's plan. So this is a great text. Let us go to another great text. And Dr. Susan, you had that one. 2 Corinthians 3:14-18. Would you read that for us?
What was that again?
Dr. Susie, 2 Corinthians 3:14-18. Have you got that one?
Is she on mute?
Yes, I was getting off the mute. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, "With that kind of hope to excite us," talking about hope, "nothing holds us back. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading away, and they didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. Don't notice that there's nothing left behind that veil. Even today, when the proclamation of that old bankrupt government are read out, they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil, so they can see for themselves that there's nothing there. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God, our face shining with the brightness of his face."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then that 17th verse in another version, it says, "Where the Spirit of God, of the Lord is, there is liberty." So, and I like the way the Message is read there, the way Dr. Susie read it.
Well,
but can you understand it? Go ahead.
No, I like the fact that it says nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. So the excitement in this is understanding that, you know, as we go and encounter our journeys of life, and we understand it says that God is a living personal presence. You know, when God becomes alive to you, when you finally can figure out this is not some fictitious deity out there, but that God is a living God that is impacting your life, that God can make a difference in everything that happens to you, that the God who created the universe cares so much for you, that he woke you up in the morning, started you on your way.
Amen.
The old folks had an understanding of it that we act like, you know, we have to be reminded. But
we've got to sanctify.
You know, those kids, and those kids can see what we can't see. That it was people that put their lives on the stake. The coach that protected, put his body in front of children to keep them from getting shot.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
All right.
This is Eric. I mean, what my observation, and only mine, is that we have become too pretentious. We want to pretend that we are sanctimonious and that we are these children of God and all that, but yet we're empty vessels. because there's nothing behind our facade that says that we have any gumption, any buy-in, or any substance to us. And so, I mean, we're kind of like cardboard cutouts. You see us and all mm-hmm. that, but there's nothing behind us. And in order to have a relationship with God, you got to have something standing behind you, and it's got to be helped up by the Holy Spirit, because you'd have been through some things, and you've come to the realization that it ain't about you. It's about God,
well,
what God wants to do for you and through you. And you've got to come to a place where you surrender all and say, it ain't about me, Lord, it's you. And so whatever you'll have, then I will go through it. And so when you don't have enough money in your pocket for food and there's more bills than month, you depending upon the Lord. You ain't trying to scheme and figure out how you're going to get it done. You going before the Lord
come
and
on.
Say, this is it. This is what I got. Take it and use it as you see fit, and I'll deal with whatever comes, whatever conversations I got to have, whatever I got to do. I'm willing to do that because I know that you are going to see me through. And we don't
Amen.
Have that. I listened to T.D. Jakes, and he made a statement a couple weeks ago, and this is the question. When you talk about serving the Lord, are you all in?
Come on.
I mean, that's a
Brother
real
Eric,
question. Are you all in?
But that's what I'm talking about. When you look nationally at people who call, and I'm not picking on one group, people who call themselves evangelicals, people who call themselves Catholic priests, people who call themselves Christians, all these people who say they have a faith relationship with God, but when our children have been scared to death, when their lives have been taken, when they have come to understand and see God face to face, because their lives were almost taken, and they are like, hey, it's time to do something about that which is tearing our country down, and these shootings and these guns have got to go. But we got people who are in the church who won't even act like they understand what love means, how we're supposed to protect and love one another, but instead we're trying to figure out how to make some money through the NRA, buying guns, selling guns, making them have more money.
What?
So that we can have more power.
I got that, Dr. Susie, but the scripture clearly tells us everybody that calls the Lord Lord ain't going to be there.
Amen.
Everybody that calls on his name and says, Lord, Lord, is not going to be there. Depart from me, for I know you not.
Come on.
All right.
And that's
and so
my
it,
point.
So,
is
so,
have
so, so it's.
But
well, we all know
here,
that.
I'm with you.
But the Wait. difference becomes, from my perspective, is that we know we got people like that, so it's up for us to do what we can in our own little corner of the world and affect
Amen.
Those that we can affect. And
educating
our brothers
and understand that we're gonna be in opposition with people who claim that they have the same kind of relationship we do. But what makes the difference,
Absolutely.
Brother Eric, between what's going to make the difference between us in that situation? And that is we
what's
have going to
make,
trust
what's
and believe
make
the
word
difference?
Of God. That's it. What's going to make the difference is that the Lord has clearly told us through Jesus Christ. He said, don't take any thought for what you need to say when you approach those people. For I will give you the words that you need to say to make sure that they understand what it is that you're talking about. And if they don't understand, you've delivered the message, and you move on to the next person who needs to be delivered the message to. You don't worry
Amen.
About the harvest. You just plant the seed.
Amen.
Exactly. So I for me, I feel like we need to encourage any and everybody who's out there trying to stand for justice to understand that whatever, all we can do is stand for justice, take forth a complaint, do what we know is right, and God will do the rest.
Absolutely.
And this
and
understand. Telling us that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add to what Dr. Susie said, and understand that it's not going to be a smooth road for you, but God has got your back.
Absolutely.
Amen. So we're trying to get,
Amen.
You know, the understanding of God better, even though our understanding is limited. This text is telling us that those who turn to the Lord have the veil removed. And many of us have a lot of veils in front of us that are keeping us from God. But those who turn to the Lord will have the veils removed. And sometimes those veils, and I think, you know, like Dr. Susie and Eric are talking about here, is power and money and prestige and, you know, all these things are veils, and this knowledge puffs us up and think we know so much. But we can't forget love. We can't forget God. And true knowledge comes when we turn to the Lord. So we want to get back to our well, we want to read one more scripture. And that's,
Dr. Nooks, as you talk about that, and most everybody who reads any part of the Bible has read this. So if you indulge me, because I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, a little bit of it anyway.
Okay.
And if and this is Paul speaking. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of the other things that he was talking about, which were the gifts of the gifts of the church. So that's the end of 12. And 13 goes on, if I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to the mountains and make them move without love, I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it's been wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever, but prophecy and speaking an unknown language and special knowledge will disappear. Now, we know only a little, and even the gift of prophecy reveals little, but when the end comes, these special gifts will all disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I grew up and I put away childish things, now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely just as God knows me now. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
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 Amen. So that talks about knowledge there, an understanding of God.
Right, and ours is limited at best. And what we do see is like looking in a poor mirror.
Amen. Amen.
And to know God is to know love. You can't say you know God if you don't have love. Because God, everything that God centers around is love. So if you don't have love in your heart, you can't tell me you're connected to the Lord. It just don't, it don't, you know, when I see people that are being rude.
Amen.
What'd you say, Eric?
This is Eric. I was just going to ask, you know, all of us old enough, you remember Lost in Space and the robot, that does not compute. That does not compute,
exactly.
Will. That does not compute.
That does not compute. That's it.
Amen. So I want us to get to our primary text. And this text, I picked it, and 1 Corinthians 13 would have been a great text for tonight, too. This one talks about the knowledge. I think it shows the knowledge of people, the limited knowledge of God, and then what God is really wanting us to see in understanding God so that we could be better people. So that's why I picked James 4, 1 through 17. And somebody can read that for us. James 4, 1 through 17.
I can read it from the message. I can read it. I'm reading James 4, 1 through 17 from the message. And it starts with Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way, and you fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. Lord, have mercy. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. Your spoiled children, each one in your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God in God's way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that God's a furious, jealous lover. And what God gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. How far, Dr. Nutz?
Verse 17.
Hello? Don't bad.
Verse 17.
Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, God's message, God's royal rule to take the beating and that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? And now I have a word for you who brashly announced, today, at the latest, tomorrow, we're off to such and such a city for the year. We're going to start a business and make a lot of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Instead, make it a habit to say, if the master wills it and we're still alive, we'll do this or that. As it is, you're full of your grandiose selves. All such vaunting self-importance is evil. In fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is evil.
Amen.
Amen.
Can't get much clearer than that.
Well,
you can see, you know, what the knowledge of people, the knowledge of humanity brings us, and when it talks about wars and fighting amongst ourselves and desiring things taken from people, fighting. I mean, we see that all around us. Quarreling. You know, where'd all these things come from? You know?
And, you know,
but that's not what God wants us to do. Go ahead.
Exactly. And this scripture is just, is, you know, my illustration was that there were some young people who went to their senator to talk to him about what was going on, and he turned against the kids, and he began to badmouth the children, the young folks. And I'm like, my goodness, how is it that you then began to try to turn against young people just to elevate yourself, just to put them down to get your point? We understand when it happens with how grown folk do each other, but when you stoop to the point of dogging out children just to get your point, you're talking about the devil getting busy and talking about dabbling in sin, talking about how we are not being true to who God called us to be. I mean, you know, come on, y'all. I mean, we need to be serious, as this scripture is talking about, and quit playing the games and get down on our knees before the Lord. Stop bad-mouthing each other and do and be what God has called us to be. You know, stop pretending that, you know, you want to carry the mantle of being evangelical or a Baptist or whatever, a disciple or whatever, and just do what it is that God called you to do. Read the word and be obedient to that. And quit trying to control and be powerful, because none of us are the master. That's why I said get down on your knees before the master.
Amen.
Yeah, well, you know, so, and I don't know if anybody else caught this, but I caught this last week, and it was very disturbing. So, and it was one single vote by Congress. There were this was after the budget. There was one single vote. There was only one issue. And Congress voted to strip the Disabilities Act of just about everything that it does. And folks who were disabled were in the gallery and, you know, protesting, and they got arrested for that.
Yeah.
These are the same people who talk about their Christian position when they're trying to bash somebody else or beat somebody else over the head with, but the very folk that Christ said we would always have with us and that we are to look after, they're dismantling all of the protections and assistance and help that they've worked so hard and they deserve. And so, the reason that I bring that up is, you know, yeah, they did that. But the reason I bring that up is that we who are voters need to be engaged in our communities with these people who are representing us and drilling them on what their position is, looking at their voting history, telling them, having those conversations, going to those meetings, going to those town halls, and getting in their faces and saying, nope, you're not, if this is your belief in what you're doing, I'm voting against you, and I'm telling everybody else I can to vote against you. And while the churches are playing this game, talking about, well, you know, we don't want to get involved because we might lose our 501c3 status. That's a bunch of crap. Because all they have to do is say, yeah, we're inviting people to come in, but this as a church, I'm making you aware of the issues. I ain't telling you who to vote for, but I'm making you aware of the issues.
Absolutely. And we need to understand that those people aren't there to do everything the way they want to. They're supposed to be representing.
Absolutely correct. And they're supposed to be representing the will of the majority of the people.
That's right. Not their will, but the will of the majority.
And so with that scripture you just read, it said, what's called all this quarreling and fighting among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? Because everybody wants their own way. Nobody's willing to talk to anybody and figure out, okay, what's going on? Everybody wants their own way, and they want to be in charge at all costs.
Amen.
True. But what we have to understand is that when we talk about our own way, when we talk about our Congress, when we talk about those people are representing us. Representative means they represent the people who voted them in the office. And when they get that twisted, it's time for them to go.
Absolutely.
In Matthew 25, starting at verse 41, Jesus says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed.
Amen.
Eternal fire.
Amen.
Prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, ye did not do it to me.
Amen.
And this is my last statement on this, and I was just reading this today. Isn't it amazing? That this is the richest country in the world, And we, in this administration, wants to add almost an additional $1 trillion to the Defense Department and cut almost $1 trillion to social service programs for people who need help and need assistance, whether they be black, white, brown, green, purple, polka dot, whatever, who need assistance with food and housing and medicine and insurance, and they would rather spend another $1 trillion. How many times can you kill people? We got enough firepower to kill everybody in this country 12 times over. In the
everybody
world.
Everybody in the world.
Everybody in the world.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Because what
yet,
it's about is those people who are in Congress have forgotten, and all they do is trying to manipulate and have power. And gathering that power by taking that money away, they disempower the people. But what they're going to do, and this is coming from me, is when you create that kind of disparity, you give people no option, and then they have to rebel. There's nothing, you're taking away all options. So they're going to have to do something.
Agreed.
To protect themselves.
Agreed. So I'm just letting the brothers and sisters who are listening throughout this country is that you need to start paying attention to what the issues are. You need to start talking to these folks who are representing you. You need to be asking them questions about where they stand. You need to be checking their voting records, because you need to get engaged in this process. It wasn't designed for us to say that we're Christians and we don't need to be engaged. We need to get engaged in this process. And I assure you that is my last political issue.
But Dr. Nooks, that's exactly what this is saying. It's saying to those people who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are homeless, who are shivering, God is saying, do something. Do something. When you see those people hungry and thirsty, homeless, or shivering, or sick in prison, and you don't help, you held accountable for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Telling the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me.
It broke my heart when I saw the disabled people in wheelchairs. They pulling them out, couldn't even walk, taking them to jail. I mean, it just, how can...
That was disgraceful. That was disgraceful.
Yes. Yeah, and this is our lesson is talking about, you know, our understanding of God is limited, but we want to understand God better. And understanding God better says that we need to love people. And I think that's what the message has been about tonight. And I know it's 8 o'clock, Dr. Susie, and I don't know if everybody wants to kind of make a final statement. Brett, you didn't even get the chance to talk. But maybe we can make a final statement about what you've gotten out of the message tonight.
Why don't you let Eric say his first, if you don't mind, because he usually has to get off. Then Britt.
Okay.
If you don't mind, Britt.
That's fine.
Yeah. So for me, it is knowing God and spending and getting to know God means spending quality, authentic time with God. In prayer and reading and study and small group and in Bible studies and, you know, Bible studies like this and asking God to direct the Holy Spirit to guide your life, to surrender all to Him. I mean, that's how you get to know God. And in getting to know
Amen.
God, you will get to know yourself a whole lot better.
Amen.
Amen. Oh boy, this Brett. Yeah, I came on late, but one of the things that is most important in your life, besides having kids or getting married, is you got to know who God is. Now, we sit up here and we get mad because these kids have been killed and all this stuff, and we think, oh boy, look at this. But what you are forgetting, this country elected a president that wants to take us back to the 60s when bombings of churches and Sunday school kids that were killed. You know, we have four black girls that was killed in a bombing in a church. Everybody thought throughout the country that was the worst thing that happened. Kids got a protested march and everything else. The same thing they're doing in Florida now is racist. It's coming right back around. But nobody is doing anything about it. My question to you is, besides God, who are the black leaders that are speaking up, stepping out, and doing something and saying something about it on a national venue? We don't have any. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all the rest of those that were back there with King and stuff, you don't hear nothing out of them now. We talk about it on our Bible study. But what are the local churches in this city? We're in Indianapolis, at least I am. What are these ministers saying about this? Not one has stepped up. We had a minister in charge of our city county council. He had to resign in disgrace. Because even though he was a minister, he didn't do things according to law. If you violate violating man's law, you definitely got to be violating God's law. So why are you even a minister in the first place? Then we got these so-called men that are supposed to be in Congress. Not one of them has ever stepped up and started impeachment proceedings against somebody they know is wrong, because all of them want to hang on to that money that they're getting. Everybody wants to hang on to that little prestige that they're getting, because when they get back into your home state, they're Mr. It. And they make promises and stuff that they don't keep. Now, how are you going to reelect somebody that does not keep their word to you and lies in your face? That's what this country has done. It has elected somebody that has set up and lied to everybody. And those of us that are Christians, we voted for the person we knew that was going to keep us straight. But because of the way the law is, we didn't have those votes. Oh, we had the popular votes. I don't care how popular you are. You could have 98% popular vote and still lose the daggone election. And that's what happened. So the thing is, if we're Christians, don't put those people back in Congress again. I don't care if they're a congressman or from the House of Representatives. They haven't stepped up. They haven't represented us. They haven't done nothing for us. What they're doing is hurting us. Why do you think that FDR came out with Social Security? Franklin Delano Roosevelt came out with Social Security. This is not something that happened recently. There was a reason for that to come out, and that was to help people that wasn't able to have jobs. If you sit back and you call yourself a Christian and you really don't live the life, then you're lying to yourself. I sit up here every day and pray. Every minute that I don't have something to do, I'm praying, asking God to heal people. I asked him about Dr. Susie and her finding a job. I got another friend that has back pain and some other things going on with her, and I asked for relief from that. God will answer your prayers, but you've got to be faithful to him. If we are not faithful to him in everything that we do and say, then what good are we doing calling ourselves as Christians? That's okay. You know me, I'll go on a roll. So, but I'm going to tell you, you got to know who God is.
Oh, amen. Amen.
This is Dr. Susie, and what I'm wanting, my take home is, as we're looking at, understand that our understanding of God is limited. And there's a scripture that I want to close with that's really important to me, Dr. Nux, and it kind of sums up a little bit. It's Isaiah 5, 8 through 12. It says, "My thoughts are not like your thoughts, said the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground and water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So the God that we serve wants us to understand that we can't fully understand everything about God, but God has given us God's word to read, to decipher, to understand it, to grow with it. And that's why we need to have an early morning rendezvous with the Lord every day and have our quiet time and build our relationship with God, our personal relationship.
Amen.
And as it was saying, as we grow and build that relationship, we end up having to move to action when God's word gets in us. And then it's exactly what this word says in Matthew, Dr. Miss, is that when we encounter people who have needs, the people, as we talked about on Social Security, the kids who have been hurt in the high school shooting, the people who are struggling everywhere we go, those people have said we can't say that we didn't do anything. Because if we don't do anything, it's saying that we haven't responded to God. The scripture says, when did we ever see you hungry, feed you, thirsty, and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick in prison and come to you? And he was saying, when we didn't do the things that we saw, when we overlooked or ignored those things, that was God that we overlooked and ignored. We did those things to God. And so those of us who are called Christian, whether you are Catholic, a Methodist, a Episcopalian, whatever you want to call yourself as a denominational entity, God said love is the answer. If you can't understand and respond in love to reach out and help somebody else, if your agenda is about power, as we read in the earlier scripture, and having a swollen head, then God will deal with you. God will deal
Amen.
With you. And we need to understand that God is supreme. And I believe that, you know, God is going to take care of his own. It said, then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. And those of us who are striving to do what's right, all we can do is stand on God's word and walk in the authority that God has given us. And that's what I believe from this awesome lesson today, Dr. Mertz.
Amen. Amen. And I would just like to close with just the theme for tonight, that our understanding of God is limited, but we need to seek to know more about God, because then we can really become the children of God and reflect God. And we need to be the light on the hill. We need to be an example to the world. And I think that's what a lot of us have been talking about tonight. It's not about personal gain. It's not about position or money. But it's about seeking righteousness and justice and being liberated from so many things that have kept us in bondage, and turning to God and away from all those things that keep us from God. And then we will start to grow. Then we will start to feel the presence of God stronger. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to us. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's how we can help our sisters and brothers. Dr.
So
Susan, we'll turn it over to you.
Can you go ahead and give the invitation and close with prayer?
And there may be someone that's listening in tonight and that you'd like to get to know God better. You'd like to get to know God as your personal Savior. Maybe you've heard some things about God and you've been to Bible study or Sunday school or church, and you know that there needs to be a change in your life and you want that change. And we invite you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And understand that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that does not keep you from this love that God wants to give you, because everybody is messed up. But God wants to embrace you. And so we invite you to confess Jesus and believe in God. And then God will come in. For whoever does this will be saved. So if you confess that right now, Lord, I confess that I've messed up and I repent of my sin. And I understand that Jesus is your son, and that you raised him from the dead, and he's alive right today. And I understand that I want to be your child, and I invite you into my life right now. We invite Jesus in to be our Savior, and I give my life to you, and you're saved right now. So we rejoice in you in that salvation. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for blessing us and keeping us. And we want to know more about you, God. We know that your love is amazing. And it's even hard for us to understand how you can love us like you do, in spite of how we act and the things we say. And I know that we cause you embarrassment sometime, and God, you still love us. And even though we go off on a far journey and we blow all of our money and we act crazy, when you see us coming like the prodigal son, you say, that's my son, that's my daughter, that's my child. Prepare a feast. For they were lost, now they found. They were blind, and now they see. And you will come out and embrace us. And you embrace us, God, every day, all the time. You show us your love. And God, we rejoice in that. Bless the Bible study tonight. Bless so many that are listening in that might be hungry, that might be homeless, that might be without employment or might be underemployed, and they are stressed out right now. God, many people in our country are stressed out, and we all don't have resources. We all don't have homes and cars and jobs and money. We're in need right now, and we're also spiritually weak and hungry. So we ask for a spiritual awakening, a spiritual renewal. Feed us, God. We need your spirit right now. Bless the churches. God, there's something wrong here, and we need your blessing. We need your power. Awaken us. Help us to see that we need to be revived. And God, help those that are in need right now, those that are sick, those that are part of our Bible study, so many that haven't been able to be with us in recent weeks. We ask a blessing upon them. And bless Dr. Susie. In a special way, our leader, God, we pray that you would just open the doors of heaven and just pour out a blessing upon earth. And God, we need you right now, and we thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.